Today's Shir Masechta Makas Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Imat Shalai Nigma Dinoi. We learned in the Mishnah that Imat Shalai Nigma Dinoi, if before the Ritzeach was sentenced and the Kohen Gadol died, but a new Kohen Gadol was appointed prior to his sentencing, the Ritzeach's remaining or not remaining in the Orei Miklat will depend on the death of the second Kohen Gadol. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Amar Rav Kahana Damakrav Yoshaba at Mois HaKohen HaGadol Asher Moshech Oisai B'Shemen HaKodesh. And the question is, V'chim Hu Moshechai, is it Ritzeach that appoints the Kohen Gadol? Ella Zeshenim Shech B'Yomav. Whoever is the Kohen Gadol when he is going to be sentenced, that is the Kohen Gadol whose death will determine that he can leave the Arei Miklat. But ask the Gemara, based on what we discussed in our previous year. We discussed in the previous year that why is the Ritzeach's remaining or not remaining in the Arei Miklat dependent on the Kohen Gadol? What does the Kohen Gadol have to do with that? So the answer was that the Kohen Gadol should have been mispalel, should have davened that something like this should never happen during his time. But ask the Gemara, why don't we say this? But that we could say when the Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol, when this Ritzicha, when this murder happened. So if the Kohen Gadol would have done his job right, so to speak, it wouldn't have happened. But this person wasn't Kohen Gadol when the Ritzicha happened. So ask the Gemara, why is he being held responsible? My Havalei Lemevid, what expectations could we have of him? Answers the Gemara, Hayloi Levakish Rachmash Yigma Dino Luschus Vloi Bikesh. Because even in that small time, between when he was appointed Kohen Gadol and this Ritzeach was sentenced, he should have been mispalel that this person should be set free and not go to Golus. And since he wasn't able to be mispalel, or he was able to mispalel and his tefillah weren't accepted, he is held responsible. So Mefarshim asked, what kind of tefillah do we want from this person? If the Ritzeach is indeed guilty and he's supposed to go to the Arei Miklat, so how could his tefillah be effective? So one pshat that I saw in the Shalos Tshuva, Tshuva Mehava, going back to Gemara that we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, is that if an entire Sanhedrin votes that somebody should be convicted, then he actually goes free. Kulei Chayiv is Zakai. So here too, he should have been mispalel that all of the members of Sanhedrin should vote that he's Chayiv Golos, and then he wouldn't be Chayiv Golos. Another pshat, a much more fundamental pshat, the Yaakov suggests, is that we shouldn't view when the Torah sentences somebody, when the Torah says he should be sentenced, shouldn't view it as a punishment. We rather should view it as an opportunity for kapara. And what he should be mispalel, therefore, is that the Ritzeach should do tshuva, and therefore, independent of going to Golus, he would have had a kapara, and there would be no need for him to go to Golus. Amar Abai continues the Gemara. Naktinen, the halacha is nigma dinai, if the Ritzeach was sentenced, and prior to actually going to Golus Mace, he passes away. The halacha is melichnas atzmos v'lasham. His bones are taken, his corpse is taken to the Arei Miklat. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, loshuv losheves ba'aretz admois hakoyim. Ve'ezi yeshiva shibaretz. What type of yeshiva is done actually in the ground? Have a oimer zakfura. It refers to kfura. And in fact, from here the mafreis can say, this is the source that we see that even a person who's no longer alive still needs a kapara. Because this person, this Ritzeach is no longer alive, and still we're looking for him to have a kapara by being buried in the ground. And this, the Paiskim says, why our minig is that we give tzedakah and do other things. We learn Torah, li'ili nishmas, people who are no longer here, because we see that even niftarim needs chusim. Continues the Gemara. Tanam, meis kodim shem meis kohen gadol, if the Ritzeach passed away before the Kohen Gadol died, and we therefore, as we just learned, buried him in the Arei Miklat. The halacha is when the Kohen Gadol ultimately passes away, we take his bone out of the Ari Miklat and then bury him with his family. What kind of living is there on his prop, in his family's property? Have a omer zekfur. Machlokes v'achronim. If how to understand this Gemara? Does the Gemara mean that at that point we have the right to transport his body out of the Ari Miklat, or does it mean that we're obligated not to leave him long term after the Kohen Gadol dies, even though he's buried in the Ari Miklat, to leave him there? In fact, this is one of the Gemaras. We know the Gemara discusses in many places how serious it is to be mefana meis. Being mefana meis means to exhume a body. So certainly, the halacha is that if, when the body was buried, there was a condition made that it's going to be done on temporarily. So that's a heter to exhume a body. Our Gemara is teach us the paiskim that the perhaps this is one of the rayas how important it is for somebody to be buried together with the rest of his family. And therefore, certain paiskim want to suggest that even if such a tanai was not made when he was buried, in order to take the mace to his family plot, we could exhume him. Continues the Gemara. Nigma din of anas koyim ben grush ben chalutza. The person was sentenced, and then it turns out the Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen Gadol when he was sentenced, is really not qualified to be a Kohen Gadol, because of Ben Charusha or Ben Chalutza. Says the Gemara, Pligvar of Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Charam Amei Sekuna. The way we look at this is if the Kohen died, and at the point that he gets disqualified, that's the point that he'll be able to go out as if the Kohen Gadol had died. For Charamar, well, the Man Dama says, Bat Lekuna. The way it's to be viewed is if he was never Kohen Gadol, because he was never qualified to being a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, under such circumstances, it's like the case that we learned in the Mishnah, that if somebody was sentenced, and at the point that he was sentenced, there was no Kohen Gadol in office, that person has to remain in the Ari Miklat forever. Suggest the Gemara, Lema, that this Machlaikas is actually the same Machlaikas, but plucked the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua, Kamifgi. The Mishnah says, Hoya ma'omir ha-makrav al-gabim mizbeach. A Kohen was doing that void in a mizbeach. For night and then we become aware Sheben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Kol Kabana Shehikrif Psulin. Any carbon that he brought is possible because it turns out that he was never a qualified Kohen. Rebbe Shua Machshir, he says it's fine. Says the Gemara, Mandama Mesa, the Mandama that says that the Kohen's disqualification only comes at the point we become aware of that disqualification will hold like Rebbe Shua. Mandama Butler, that all the kabbonis he ever brought are disqualified because he, turns out, was never a valid kohen, a qualified kohen, will be following the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. I leave it to Rebbe Elazar, kulam loy pligi. According to the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar's opinion cannot be consistent with the previous opinions. That means Rebbe Elazar, who holds Batla Kuna, cannot hold, in this case, that the kohen who brought the kabbonis, that this individual brought to Kabbonis, that there's any way of saying that those Kabbonis are fine. Because he says, Batla Kuhuna, that he was never a Kohen. Keep Ligi. However, it's not necessary to say that both Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, that the Machlokes of Ami and Yitzchak Nafcha, they both can't agree with Rav Yeshua. Because Mandama Mesa, certainly the Mandama that says that the Kabbonis that he brought till now are fine, could be consistent with the opinion of Rav Yeshua. Mandama Batla, even the Mandama that says that a Kohen who's been discovered to be a disqualified Kohen, it turns out that he was never a valid Kohen. It says the Gemara, at Kan Lekam Rabbi Shua Hasam, Diksiv, because maybe Rabbi Shua said his din, that the Kabbonis that he brought, even though it turns out that he's not a valid Kohen, are still okay, because there's a special pasuk to teach us, Baruch Hashem Cheloi, or Pael Yod of Tirtza. To teach us, Afilu Chalolin Shabbat, that even the Kabbonis that are brought by Chalolin are fine. Aval Hacha, regarding the Kohen Gadol, who was really never qualified to be the Kohen Gadol, it could well be that even Rabbi Shua would agree, Maider Rabbi Shua would agree, that his death doesn't let the Ritzeach leave the Ari Miklat, because Rabbi Shua will agree as far as any other issue besides Kabbonis, he was never a valid Kohen. Machloikis Huachroinim, what will be the halacha if a Kohen Gadol,
He was a full-fledged kohen. He was a fine kohen gadol. But Rechman Shlom becomes a balmum, and we know a balmum kavua, a permanent blemish, that he can never be a kohen again. How do we look at that situation? Do we look at it as if the kohen gadol died? And even though he didn't actually die, he just became a kohen gadol, and he's been permanently removed from office, would be an acceptable reason for the reitzchim to be able to leave Dari Miklat? Or, since he's alive, and nothing, and it says that this damage came to him, it won't be enough of a reason for him to be allowed to leave the Ari Miklat. Another very interesting question, which I saw Rabbi Bozner discusses in the Shevet Alevi, is what happens if a person's a Bechor? And he had a pinyan ben with a kayin. And then it turns out that the kayin was a cholo. It was a ben grusha, ben chalutzo, whatever. Does he have to have the pinyan ben redone? And Rav Ozner comes to the conclusion that certainly he has to have the pinyan ben, he has to have himself nifta again. He does say, he's not quite certain, but his final psak is that a bracha doesn't have to be made by the second pinyan ben. But he certainly has to go through a pinyan ben. But then I saw other paiskim that certainly agree with Rav Ozner's psak, but they want to make the following distinction. They say, There's two things that could have happened here. We could have found out that he's indeed a kohen, but he's a cholo. His father married somebody who shouldn't have married. And then it could be that he was never even a kohen, he was just a Yisrael. So some Paiskim want to suggest that in a case where it's discovered that not only was he not a kohen, not only was he discovered not to be a disqualified kohen, but he's not a kohen altogether, there everybody would agree that he certainly has to have a new pinyan ben with a bracha, because the person was stam not a kohen. We learned Nigma Dinoi, once the din is gepaskind, he has to run to the Ari Miklat. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Arav, the Mishnah spoke about the Mizbeach, also have the ability to be a place where it's Seich to run. Says the Gemara, Shtei Toys Toy Yoiv, Bais Hashav. Yoiv was the general of David HaMelech, and Yoiv had killed two people. One person he had killed was Avner ben Ner. We learned his Gemara is actually Masechta Sanhedrin. And the other person he killed was Amsa ben Yasser. David HaMelech left a directive to his son Shloima that he should kill Yoiv. But he also didn't want him just to go kill him. He wanted there should be an opportunity where he should be killed. And the opportunity came up. Because after David HaMelech passed away, even though Shloima HaMelech was appointed to be the successor, Adoniyo, who was another son of David, wanted the position. And Yoav joined up with Adoniyo. So at that point, he was a married Melech. He was guilty of treason. So Shlomo Melech wanted him killed. So what did Yoav do? Yoav ran to the Mizbeach. However, says the Gemara, Shtei Toyes Toyo Yoav by Shashar. He actually made two errors. The Ksiv, V'yonos Yoav, he ran to the Mizbeach. V'chazik b'kronais ha-Mizbeach. One mistake he made was, she'ena koilet el-gagoy. What spot of the Mizbeach has the ability to save a person? The roof of the Mizbeach. V'hu tafas b'karnoisov. And he was holding on to the corners. And as Mepharshim explained, he thought it's the general vicinity of the Mizbeach that saves. No, it's specifically the roof. And his second mistake was, only the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash has the ability to be koilet. Who toughest? But he ran to the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh. But ask the Mepharshim, didn't he make another mistake? The Mizbeach only helps, the Ari Miklat help for somebody who killed B'Shoigig. Yoav killed these people B'Mezit. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that mistake? So I saw a number of answers. Some suggest that the power of the Mizbeach to be koilet is even somebody who kills B'mezit. One pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that it wasn't that Yoav just went cold-blooded and killed those people. But each one of those people, he had a reason to kill them. So he falls into the same category as a shogeg, that's why it should be koilet. Abaye Amar, Abaye says he made another mistake. B'ha nami mita tar, he made another error. Tar, she'en a koil el koin v'avoida. He assumed that only a koin who's doing the avoida, b'yadai, is koilet, for who's zar haya? He was a zar. So here too, the Mepharshim discuss how do we understand this mistake. So I saw a very nice pshat from the Sri Deyesh. The Sri Deyesh says as follows. when the Mizbeach, as we just learned, this was in the time when the Mizbeach, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. At that time, Bamos was still Mutter. And an Obama, we're not limited that a Kohen should do Ravoida. Even a Yisrael may do Ravoida on the Obama. So Yoyev assumed, and not just Yoyev, that's what Rav holds, says at that point there wasn't a special, it wasn't so unique being a Kohen, because even Yisraelim could do Avoida on Bamos. And therefore at that time Rav says the Mizbeach is even Kohelet to Yisrael. Abai says no, the Mizbeach is only Kohelet Kohanim. And continues the Gemara. Amr Shlok Sholosh Toys, Osit Sorei Sharom Elitais. The Malach of Rome is also going to make three errors. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Miza Bami Edom, Chometz Begadim Ibetzrei. Ta, he's going to, when Mashiach comes, and he's going to see that his time is up, so to speak, he's going to run to the city of Batzra, assuming that it's Ir Miklat. But his mistake is, Tosh Enikaletis El Betzer. The city of Betzer is in Miklat. For who go to Batzra? He's going to the wrong place. He's going to Batzra. Furthermore, Ta, as we just discussed a moment ago, Shana Kaletis El Shagig. The Ir Miklat only works for somebody who does Shagig. For who makes it? He was premeditated what Edom did to Klal Yisrael. And furthermore, Ta Shana Kaletis El Adam. The Ir Miklat worked for people for who Malachu. So it's a very deep word from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes explains, for Ari Miklat to be effective, it can't be that somebody does an Avera relying on the Ari Miklat. Rather, he says, the Ari Miklat are after the Avera was done, and the person now has to have a Kapara, so the person didn't rely on the Ari Miklat, then the Ari Miklat could be effective. And he explains as follows. We actually experience this, he says, on an annual basis. He says, it comes Rosh Hashanah, it comes the Seres Yimei Tshuva, it comes Yom Kippur. A person does Tshuva. He realizes and he recognizes that maybe he didn't act appropriately. So after he did Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an Ari Miklat to run to. Where's the Ari Miklat we can run to? To the Sukkah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Avua, Ari Miklat Leinitin L'Kfura. The Ari Miklat weren't given to be a place where people are buried. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says about the Ari Miklat, U'migrishem yiu l'behemtam, u'l'ruchusham, u'chol chayoysam. Teaches us the Brayis, l'chaim nitnu, they were given for people to live in, v'loy l'kfura. As to Gemara Meisvei, we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Gemara early in our Shir, that the Pasuk says, Shama, to teach a Shamtei, the Rasoi, Shamtei, Misasoi, Shamtei, Kfurasoi. So we see that the Ritzeich is buried in the Ari Miklat. And it says the Gemara, Ritzeich Shani, the Golubei Rachmana, because the Torah specifically taught us that he should be buried there. And many Mefarshim say, and we discussed this earlier in our Shir, why is the Ritzeich different? If we would think about it, if a Ritzeich who's not really a permanent resident of Ari Miklat is buried there, so shouldn't the Levim, for example, who are permanent residents, be buried there? The answer is what we discussed earlier in our Shir, that even though the Ritzeich is buried in Ari Miklat, it's only a temporary burial, because once the Kohen Gadol dies, he's taken out. If we were to bury other people who live there, they're going to remain there forever. And we don't want the Ari Miklat, the Torah doesn't want the Ari Miklat to be a cemetery. So we learned in the Mishnah, the Kshem She'ir Kaletis, just like the actual city is Kailat, Kach Tchumet Kailat. The Tchum of the ear is Kailat. Verminu, ask the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, Yashaba Bavalai B'Tchuma, that the Tchum of the city isn't considered part of the Ari Miklat. And as the Mefarshim explained, there are really a number of different categories around the city. There are the 70 Amis outside of the city, which we learned them Masechet Erevin are considered the Ibura Shalir. Those 70 Amis, the Mefarshim say, are clearly considered part of the city. Here we're speaking about the 2,000 Amis past those 70 Amis. And here the Braisa clearly says that it's not considered the tchum of, part of the Ari Miklat. And it says, Gemara, I'm a bailo kasha. Kan lodur, kan liklai, kan lodur. To be koilit, you don't have to have specifically the city. Even the tchum of the city is koilit. But where should the Ritzeach live? He's only allowed to live in the city proper. Interesting, machloikas rishonim. What would be the halacha if the Ritzeach violated this Gemara and he lives in the tchum of the city? So on one hand, the Gemara just said that the tchum of the city is koilet. On the other hand, the Gemara just said he's not allowed to take up permanent residence there. If he lives there, will he have the protection of Ari Miklur or not? Lador asked the Gemara, why do we need a special pasuk to teach us that he's not allowed to live there? Typically, we should know this from another halacha. The Gemara says that in Oisim Sada Migrish, V'lo Migrish Sada. 1,000 amos outside the city was a Migrish, and 1,000 amos outside of the city is Sada. And the Brisa says the part that's a Sada should remain a Sada. The parts of Migrish should remain a Sada, a Migrish. Furthermore, V'lo Migrish Ir, V'lo Ir Migrish. So the part that's designated as a Sada or a Migrish, you can't live in anyway. Nothing to do with halachas of Ari Miklit. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashley Nitzchel and Mechilas. As Doruch Lener explains, to teach us that not only can't you take residence up on that area, but below that area, it's considered also usher to live. So here we see, interestingly, I saw the Paiskim ask an interesting question, interesting Shaila, that the Mechilas, the area underground, doesn't necessarily have the same status as above ground unless the Pasuk teaches so. The question comes up is, let's say I sold you a piece of property, but I made a very clear stipulation that I don't want you to do any building on that property. And you agreed. That was the contract. Does that preclude you from building underground? Because here we see that underground doesn't have the same din as above ground. Tan Rabban, V'ratzach Goel Adamus Ritzeach, teaches us the Gemara, the opinion of Yosef Glili, as we learned in the Mishnah, Mitzvah v'yad goyel adam. According to Yitzchak Lely, there's a mitzvah for the goyel adam to kill the ritzeach. Ein lo goyel adam. If there is no goyel adam, rishus v'yad kol adam de Rabbi Yitzchak Lely. So according to Yitzchak Lely, as the Aruch Lener explains, actually everybody should be allowed to kill the ritzeach. The reason not everybody kills him is because the goyel adam has a specific mitzvah to kill him, and we want him to have the opportunity to fulfill his mitzvah. Rabbi Kiva takes everything one step down. He says, Rishus b'yad goyel adam. The goyel adam has a right to kill him. To call adam chayovim alav. Everybody else has no right, and if they kill him, they're going to be considered as if they did murder. Ask the Gemara, my tam de Rabbi Yosef Glili, what is his base's opinion on? Because he says, miksiv, does the pasuk then say, im rotzach? It says, v'rotzach! The goyel adam should kill. Rabbi Kiva, how does Rabbi Kiva defend his position? Miksiv, if the pasuk meant to teach us that the Goyel Adam should go kill the Ritzeach, then the Pasuk should have used the word Yirtzach. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mezutra Bativya Amarav. Ritzeach Shiyotzach Chutz Latchum. If the Ritzeach left the Ari Miklat, or Matzai Goyel Adam, and the Goyel Adam finds him for Hargoy and kills him, Nergalov, the Goyel Adam will be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, command. Like Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Kiva. This doesn't follow either opinion. Because Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva are only disputing, they're only debating if there's a mitzvah. But everybody agrees that the Goyel Adam is allowed to kill him. And he was saying he's not allowed to kill him. Answers the Gemara, Hu Dam Kahai Tana. He's following this Tanya's opinion. The Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ad Omdel Fnei Eda L'mishpat. Ma Tamalami, what is the Pasuk teaching us with these words? L'fisha Namar, V'rotzach goyel adam es ritzeach. Yochel miyad, I would think that as soon, he has the right, as soon as he meets him, as long as it's not in the Ari Miklat, that the goyel adam has the right to kill the ritzeach, tamaloymer, ad amdel fnei ha'eda l'mishpat. That the eda has to tell him, the ritzeach, if you're gonna leave the Ari Miklat, you're putting yourself into danger. Without that specific warning, the Goyel Adam has no right to kill him. The Rishonim debate, if this Shaila is connected to the Shaila that we discussed in the previous year, Rav Huna, where if the Ritzeach is running to Ari Miklat, if the Goyel Adam is allowed to kill him as he's running there, are these two Gemaras, do they travel together or not? Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Kiva, Hai Ad Amdal Fnei Eidel L'Mishpat Mai Darshibay, that they don't agree with this, what do they use this Pasuk for? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Berle Lichretanya Rabbi Kiva Omer, Menayin L'Sanhedrin Shirah Echad Sharek Sanefesh. If the Sanhedrin saw somebody kill somebody, Shema Misenai Sa'achi Yame Bezdin Acher. The way Rishonim explained that in order for him to get a fair trial, he has to go to a different Bezdin, Tamaloimer, Ad Amdafne Eidel Mishpat, Achi Yame Bezdin Acher. Tanabonin. The pasuk says, "Im yotze yotze ritzeach, only ela b'mezid." Only if he left the city b'mezid, mishay gigmanayin. How do you know if he left the city accidentally? The same halacha applies. Tamloima by the pasuk saying the extra word yotze, im yotze yotze, become mokim. It makes no difference why he left. Ask the Gemara for Tanya. Didn't we learn in a brisa b'mezid nerag? If the Ritzeach left the city of Mezid, then he could be killed. B'shogig Goyla. Because that's, so how do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Haka, Mandam Adam Rinan, Dibri Tari Kadosh B'nei Adam. According to Mandam that says the Torah is Dibri Kadosh B'nei Adam, the fact that the Pasuk says, M'yotza Yotza, is not to be used as a limud. Because what the Pasuk is teaching us, there's nothing to learn here. That's the way the Pasuk works. So there are no extra words. And therefore, the halach is that only b'mezin nerag, b'shoye gidat nerag. Hadaman the omer, loyamirin divitari kolosh b'nei adam. Therefore, and according to him, we have an extra word to teach us that both b'shoye and b'mezin, the ritzeich is killed. Omer abaya, says abaya, mstabra, command omer divitari kolosh b'nei adam. It makes sense that if somebody, that the way to understand the pasuk of yotza yotza is not that there's an extra word here, rather the reason the Torah uses the two words of yotza yotza is only because dibur Torah kolosh b'nei adam, and therefore if he left b'shoigig, he will not be subject that the goyel adam should be able to kill him, because what is the svara? Just like when he went to the Eir HaMiklat, if he killed b'shoigig, he's not subject to be killed. When he leaves, it's only if he left deliberately, then he put himself into danger. And as the Malay HaRoyim explains the Gemara, he says, certainly, throughout Shas, throughout the Torah, and the Shas explaining the Gemara, whenever we have a pasuk with a superfluous word, if we're able to explain, use that extra word to teach us a halacha, we prefer to use the extra word to teach us a halacha rather than saying Dibur Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. So here, asked the Malay HaRoyim, we have what we could do with the extra word to teach us that B'shoigig, he also gets killed. Why do we prefer to say Dibur Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam? For that, says the Malay HaRoyim, Abaye comes to teach us that even though I have what to do with the extra word, it has to make sense. And since he argues that logically it makes no sense that if by accident the Ritzeach wandered out of the Ari Miklat, he should be held responsible. It makes no sense logically. That's why we have to say, that Dibur Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. Tanichada, Av Shaharig B'noi Nas Le'Goyel Adam. Which means as follows. Yaakov, Rechman Tzlan, kills his son Reuven. So who is the Goyel Adam of Reuven? His brother Shimon. So now we have a very terrible scenario where Shimon, who's also Yaakov's son, is the Goyel Hadam to kill his father. So this Brisa says, that indeed is the halacha. Shimon is a Goyel Hadam to kill his father. V'tanya idach. Yet there's another Brisa that says, Ein benoy nasa like Goyel Hadam. That a son is never made a Goyel Hadam to kill a father. So how do we reconcile these two Brises? Lema, perhaps the way to reconcile them is to say Harab Yosi Haglili Vaharab Kiva. It goes back to the Machlokes that we learned in the Mishnah and previously in the Gemara. That according to Rabbi Yosi Haglili, the Goyel Hadam killing the Ritzeach is a mitzvah. And therefore, since the Goyel Hadam killing the Ritzeach is a mitzvah, that mitzvah, even though it's his own father, the mitzvah supersedes anything else. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, his opinion is the Goyel Adam killing the Ritzeich is only Rishus. So certainly under those circumstances, a son has no right to kill his father. Ask the Gemara, V'tizbra, can we explain these two brises that way? Dein lamandam mitzvah, dein lamandam Rishus. Whether we hold that killing a Goyel Adam killing the Ritzeich is a mitzvah, or whether we say killing him is Rishus, may a son ever do such a thing to his father? V'amar Rabbi Rav Huna, V'chein tana de beri v'shmol. L'chol ein ha-ben nasa shlich l'aviv. A son can never be the individual la-koysoi ul-kalalosoi to hit or curse a father. Chutz, there's only one exception to the rule. Shemesis. That one has a father who's trying to influence him or others to worship Avodah Zarah. There, even if it's a son, he could take action against his father, because the Torah specifically says regarding Amesis. So how can we say that there's a brisa that allows a son to be the goyel adam against his father, even if his father's the ritzayach? So we're back to our original question, how do we reconcile these two brises? And says the Gemara, lekasha. Haba benoi, haben benoi. The way the Rishonim explain is as follows. A son can never be a goyel adam against his father, under any circumstances. But a grandson could be a goyel adam against his grandfather. So that means, going back to the example we gave, if Yaakov killed his son Reuven, Reuven's son could be a goyel adam against his grandfather Yaakov. And based on this Gemara, the Marik is a Rishon, Paskins, from our Gemara we have a Raya, that there is no Chiv, Kibur of Aim, for a grandfather. Because our Gemara clearly makes a distinction between the relationship of a son to a father and a grandson to a grandfather. The Gemara doesn't pass in that way. The Gemara says that certainly one has an obligation to have kibud av aim not only to a father, but also to a grandfather. What's the Gemara going to do with this Gemara? So there are a number of explanations given by the Paiskim and the Mefarshim. The Gra wants to make a distinction between a paternal grandfather versus a maternal grandfather. And he says that the Ramah is only referring to a paternal grandfather, and our Gemara would be speaking about a maternal grandfather. That's one pshat. Others say, different pshat. They say, certainly one has an obligation to have their cheretz for a grandfather. There's a few ways of explaining this. But even if one has an obligation to have respect for a grandfather, where does that obligation come from? It emanates from his obligation to have respect for his father. Since he has to have respect for his father, and his father has to have respect for his father, so he too has to have respect for his grandfather. So therefore, we clearly see that his obligation to his father is greater than his obligation to his grandfather. And that's the halacha. And therefore, in this case, why is he going after his grandfather? For his father's honor. That's why, even though normally, certainly one has to have respect for a grandfather, but the father comes first. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim give, interesting psak, is that a son has an obligation, a grandson has an obligation to respect his grandfather only as long as his father is alive. Why? As I said a moment ago, because his obligation to his grandfather emanates from his obligation to his father. But in this case, where the father is no longer alive, obviously that's the entire case, so the father doesn't have any more obligation, no longer does he either. Says the Mishnah, Ilan Shaim b'taychet chum, if you have a tree that's within the Ari Miklet. However, its branches are outside of the tchum, or vice versa. The actual tree trunk is outside of the Ari Miklet. However, so the question is, how do we view this tree? Do we view this tree as being in the Ari Miklet or outside the Ari Miklet? Paskins the Mishnah, Hakel Hoylech Achar Noif. The branches are considered the primary place, and wherever the branches are, that's how we determine is it or is it not in the Ari Miklet. Vermini asked the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah regarding Maisa Sheni, Ilan Shu Oime Bifnim. If there's an Ilan that's inside Yerushalayim, V'noita L'chutz, but its branches are outside of Yerushalayim, or vice versa, Oime B'chutz, the tree itself is outside Yerushalayim, V'noita L'fnim, and its branches are inside the city. The answer is, how do we view this area? Because we know what halach is. The Maiser Sheni produce, there's really two halachas. One halach is the Maiser Sheni produce may only be eaten in Yerushalayim. And furthermore, once Maiser Sheni is brought into Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it anymore. You have to eat the actual produce. So how do we view this area? Says the Mishnah, anything that's within the boundary, within the walls of Yerushalayim, is treated kilifnim. Like the Rishonim explained, this actual spot, there may not be a wall. So we draw an imaginary line, what is within the city walls, and what is with outside the city walls. And the halach is, again, is treated kilifnim. Mikeneged Achayim Lechutz is treated Kelechutz. We don't follow branches. How do we reconcile this with our mission that says that we follow the branches? Answers the Gemara. Maisa Ori Miklet Karamis. You're asking a question between Maisa and Ori Miklet. Maiser B'chayma Tarli Rachmana. And therefore the mission of Masechta Maisa Sheni is very clear in determining it based on where you are vis-a-vis the wall. Ori Miklet B'dirur Tarli Rachmana. The Ori Miklet is dependent on where you're actually residing. And the Mishnah teaches, the Gemara teaches us, our Mishnah teaches us, the place where a person is considered residing is on the branches of the tree, Biikra le Mizdarle. However, ask the Gemara, V'rami Maisa Maisa, now ask the Gemara different stira. The Tanya, it says in a Braisa regarding Maisa Sheni, B'Yushalayim, Halach Acha Noif, Barim Mikler Halach Noif. So here we have a stira. The Mishnah says that by Maisa we go according to the wall. And here it says that by Yerushalayim we follow, by Maisa Sheni we follow the branches. How do we reconcile this stira? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana. And this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. And this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Rav Kahana's answer is not specifically only coming to answer the contradiction regarding Maisa, but Rav Kahana is coming to answer our original kasha also. That we started the Gemara with a kasha, with a stira, between our Mishnah regarding Ori Miklet and the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni regarding Maaser. The answer of Kahana is going to give is going to resolve both questions. The stira Maaser and the stira between Maaser and Ori Miklet. Loi kasha. It represents a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbona. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'mora, when it comes to, the Rabbi Yehuda said is halacha, regarding Maaser, when it comes to a cave, we look at the opening of the cave. If the opening of the cave is in Yerushalayim, then the entire length of the cave, even if it extends outside of Yerushalayim, is considered as if it's in Yerushalayim, and so too, vice versa. The Elon, as far as Maaser is concerned, and so, the way we're explaining the Gemara, will be the halacha regarding Ari Miklet, we look at the branches. So therefore, our Mishnah and the second Braisa regarding Maaser that both said that we follow the knife represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, aim at the Shamed Leila Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda say his psak suggests the Gemara? And as Tosfos explains this, it's Gabe Maaser. Where did Rabbi Yehuda say this psak by Maaser? It's only where he wants to create a chumrah. And Taisus says, why it makes the Gemara say that Rabbi Yehuda is only saying his opinion, l'chumra? Because Taisus says we always want to try limit as much as possible machloikas. So the Gemara doesn't want to have such a big disparity between the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and the opinion of Rabbanan. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda is only saying his psak, l'chumra. And the Gemara explains itself. Where is there a chumra by following Rabbi Yehuda's psak by Maisa, first the Gemara says. In a case where the trunk is outside of Yerushalayim, but the branches are inside Yerushalayim. So as I said earlier, that once the Maaser is brought into Yerushalayim, it can no longer be redeemed. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that in such a situation, you can't anymore redeem this Maaser Sheni on the knife, because the knife is within the walls of Yerushalayim. Be'ikroi, the trunk, which even though it's outside of Yerushalayim, we will treat like it's on the knife, and nami le'matzei parik. You will no longer have the opportunity to redeem that Maaser Sheni. In the case, continues the Gemara, where it's ikrim b'fnim, the knife of b'chutz, where the trunk is inside the walls of Yerushalayim, and the branches are outside Yerushalayim, as I said at the beginning of this sugya, that you can't eat Maaser Sheni produce outside Yerushalayim, and therefore in this case, the branches are outside the wall, you would not be allowed to eat Maaser Sheni on the branches, unless Padiyah, unless you redeem it. The Ikroi, in the tree trunk, which is inside the wall of Yerushalayim, you can't eat the actual Maaser Sheni produce. That's where we could identify a chumrah, how Rabbi Yehuda set his psak to accomplish a chumrah. However, asked the Gemara, Elagabi Miklat. It was saying Rabbi Yehuda is only saying his psak. The chumra, let's try to see what kind of chumra we could find. Explains the Gemara. Bishlama ikra b'chutz v'naifa b'fnim. In a situation where the trunk is outside of the wall and the branches are inside the city, so we can understand the chumra. The chumra is kihecha the b'naifa le'matzel katle, that on the branches the ritzeach has no longer right to kill the goyel adam. I'm sorry, has no right to kill the ritzeach because he's in the arim miklat be'ikroi. Even though the ikra, the trunk, is outside of the wall, namelei matzukatalei. Ella asked the Gemara, in the situation of ikra b'fnim, v'noifa b'chutz, keichad v'noifa matzukatalei, will we say that just like the goyel adam could kill him on the branches, b'ikra nami matzukatalei? How could we ever have such a havamina? Hagavoika, he's standing inside the wall of the Ari Miklat. There's no wall to Arimiklet, but he's standing inside the city. How can we allow, in a situation where the branches, even though the branches are protruding outside the Arimiklet, but this person standing by the tree, that he should be allowed to be killed, that we should allow the Goyal Adam to kill him? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, in explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Bikri Kulam Loikot Pligi, on such a situation, everybody would agree that if the Reitzeach is standing by the tree trunk, the Lematzel Kotel, he can't kill him because he's in the city. And for the Goyal Adam to come into the city where the tree trunk is and actually kill the Reitzeach, certainly unacceptable. Koi, on the other hand, says the Gemara, Koi benoifoi, if the Goyal Adam is standing on the branches of the tree, V'yachal ahargoi b'chitz mitzroiris, the Goyal Adam is standing outside of the city. He's standing on the noif, which is on the branches which are outside of the city. Even though the Ritzach is inside the city, Kulam loy pligi the matzikotelei, because he's shooting outside of the city. That's permissible. Ki pligi, what is the question? B'mehevi ikra dargal noifai. If there's only way that the Ritzach is on the branches of the tree, and the branches of the tree, as we just explained, are outside of the city, but the only way for the Goyal Adam to get to the Ritzach, who are on these branches which are at the city, is by climbing up the tree. And how do you get to the tree? You have to go into the city. Mas sover have ikra dargul noifai, and therefore he's allowed to go up the tree, even though it involves climbing from within the Ari Meklat. And that is the case of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar, my achra noif. How do we understand the words achra noif, both in the Mishnah and the Braisa? Af achra noif. It's not to mean that we always follow the branches. What Rav Yehuda says is we have to look at each situation. If following the branches give us a chumra, we follow the branches. If following the tree trunk give us a chumra, we follow the tree trunk. And therefore, Rav Yehuda's opinion, which is the opinion of our Mishnah, and it's also the opinion of the Braisa and Sechta regarding Meiser, is that we always look for the Chumr Diga approach. Har by Seir, if he killed in that city, if he killed in Dar Miklat, Goyle Mishchun Lashchuna. Or Ben Levi, and similarly, if a Ben Levi killed and he lives in the Ari Levim that we learned earlier, a Koylet, Goyle Me'ilin. Tanabam Samtil Chamokim. Samtil Chabachayecha Mokim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that while he's still alive, that he could designate cities. Mumkaim chashiyon hashama, mlamit, so Yisrael megalim b'midbar, that even midbar, if somebody killed b'shagi, he went to Golis. Lehecha maglin, where does he go? Lamachna levia. Mikan amru, and therefore it says the Gemara, the Braisa, ben Levi shigolo, if a ben Levi killed b'shagi, goyla, Miplach leplach. He goes from one district in the city to the different district. Megala lepalchoi. If he did remain in his place, pilchoi kalta. Amar v'acha braid of rika. My craw can be ir meklate yeshiv ir shekalta sekvar. Even if he was in that city previously, since it is Ari Elavim, it has the ability to be always koilet.